Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See home club for details.
If I look at one game, I'm going to guarantee is a loss. Chris Franklin. It's December 1st at Baltimore. And if I look at one game that's going to be guaranteed win next week, December 8th, Carolina at Lincoln Financial Field. I want you to guarantee one loss and one win. Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365. We are joined now by Chris Franklin of NJ.com. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this post-schedule release day?
It's always fun because it's always – I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And it's always fun, you know, you just get to look and you know – you're just waiting. You're like, you know the teams you're playing. You just want to finally know what's going to happen. Now, it makes it real now. It's always fun knowing the schedule comes out and it makes it real.
Yep.
Yeah, and now we know, and I always like to look at themes and sort of more than, because we don't know who's going to be healthy on a particular week and what the situation is going to be. So we all got to play that game, the that's a win, that's a loss game, and we'll certainly play it with you, Chris. And I saw your, anybody wants to read it, at C. Franklin News, NJ.com, your early prediction, but when it comes to themes on this schedule, what kind of stood out to you?
Well, I think the one, the stretch of death that we saw last year, at least it's earlier, so it gives them, I think there's still a stretch of death in there. I look at that stretch in the middle that includes the Bengals all the way through the Ravens. I think that's going to be a really defining stretch for the team to see where they really are. I think then, and even if they do falter, they still have enough time to rectify them. So that's one thing. And then the other one, I just definitely noticed that they're pretty much living out their suitcase, it feels like, for that first half of the season. That's just to go to Brazil and all of a sudden, oh yeah, you're home for one night, you give you some rest. But after that, go down to New Orleans after the Atlanta game, and then oh yeah, go back up, and then go back down to Tampa Bay game. There's a lot of travel heavy games in there, but it really helps they have those home games down the stretch for them.
Yeah. First time since 1951, the Eagles said 4 out of 5 at home.
Yeah, only 4 true home games in the first 13 weeks because week one is in Brazil. You're not getting home advantage from playing in Brazil. So tough from that perspective. But I said to Johnny Mack and I said to Les Bowen in hour one, I like it because I'd rather play my best football in December going into the playoffs, and you have the chance to be able to do that. If there's anything, if you had a slow start or you lost a couple games, you got a lot of home games down the stretch. Win those games. You beat Dallas at home down the, you know, that's a momentum shifting type win. You have a chance to get hot there going into the playoffs, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and especially I think, and I know there's a lot of trepidation about, hey, it's a week five bye, and it's really, really early. That doesn't preclude you from actually going and making a run. It does. I mean, if the Rams had a week two bye and they won the World, and they won the Super Bowl, if you look at actually, like, for teams, there's been seven teams that have won, had a week five bye or earlier, and they still made the Super Bowl. So that's key. And it's also going to be key for the Eagles, especially with having two new coordinators. You have two new schemes and terminology. It gives them time early enough that they can make enough tweaks. They can change things and then head forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and that's a good little nugget you gave us there, Chris, about teams that have been able to handle the early bye. But I from my perspective, I think that's what they're doing. I think they're handling it, and it's not a death knell, but I don't think it's good from the perspective of the obvious one of, A, you're going to be more banged up late in the season, but also when it's that early, you don't really have a large enough sample size to do the self-scout you want to do as a coaching staff and kind of look inward and say, all right, what are we doing well? What are we doing wrong? Now, in the last year, that might have sunk Nick Sirianni having the later bye, because that's when he started thinking about, hey, you know what? Sean Desai's not cutting it. Let's make this goofy move to Matt Patricia. So it can work in both ways. But I think just from a general perspective, and I think the Eagles would agree with this wholeheartedly, they would prefer a later bye. Would you agree there?
I think so. And it puts the importance more now on the fact they really do have to get the one seed if they want to get some rest into the playoffs. Because you're playing from week six on. And that's, especially if you're two or below, and that's a tough task to do. And also, it's tough if you're in terms of self-scout, when you look at the opponents, the only litmus test you really have is in week one. And week one is always the crazy week because teams are all season pretty much to plan how they want to try to plan how you're doing. So you got the Packers, and then you look at the Falcons and the Saints, and
NFC South heavy.
Yeah. It's nothing where it's like, you know what? This is we know what we're going to do here. Like, you wish it was like, maybe you get the wish you kind of had the Browns early so you know what you were getting out of them and you get that out the way before they really truly got on a roll and stuff like that. But hey, such is life when it comes to that. And yeah, they're going to need that rest. They really, really need to get that one seed in order to get some rest later on in the season.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. And the one thing that did stick out to me when the schedule was released, and you know, we're breaking it down now. We have the benefit of looking at it 6 months into the future. We don't know how it's going to play out. But there's no real gauntlet like there was last year. Now, Johnny Mack has pointed out they won more games of that gauntlet than we thought, and they ended up losing to the teams we thought they were going to beat, the Cardinals and the Giants. But really only maybe week 8 to week 10, Bengals, Jags, Cowboys on the road. I mean, that could be a tough stretch, but there's no real season-defining gauntlet like there was last year. I think that's a win for the Eagles, and I think that's a good thing. What do you make of that?
I really think there is one. And between starting with the Bengals and through the Ravens, because it's the way the thing set up. I know it's the Rams. It was like, they beat the Rams. You look at that one. That's included.
Everybody thinks because they beat the Rams. Rams are a good team. Yeah. They're probably a year ahead of schedule. Yeah.
And there's some pitfalls along the way, like the whole fact where you have to go down. They have to go down to an area, a stadium, especially to the Cowboys, where they've had struggle with mightily, and then come back on a short week against a team that's had success in Commanders, that's had success at Lincoln Financial Field. And you look at that stuff, and I'm not including the stretch, and I know I truly believe they win the game. I even think the way where they place the Panthers game is even tough, because even when you go down to the Rams and then you do that cross-country flight, then you have to go – you got the next game against the Baltimore, who's a really physical team. You got to play the sandwich in between there. So it's not a the stretches, and to me, the stretches between six and between the Bengals and the Ravens. But there's some stretches along the way where you got some trap games potentially, and it could really throw you a loop. Like, just like last year, we thought the Cardinals, granted, the Eagles were in free fall, but we thought, the Cardinals are in the middle of that, and look what happened, too. So,
exactly. So, you never know. What I do think, though, when we looked at last year, and it was Dallas bookending the really difficult stretch. The first game was here. And then it was Kansas City. Then it was the bye week. Then it was Kansas City coming out of the bye, Buffalo.
And then it was San Francisco, Dallas. And obviously they fell apart in the last two. The difference this year, I think there's at least a little bit of a lull between the really good teams, or at least the teams we think that are going to be good. And that to me would be Green Bay, which is week one. I think they're a good ascending team. I think Cleveland's going to be good, and that's week six. Not that, you know, I think New Orleans is going to beat them. Tampa beat them last year in the playoffs, but I think those teams have some issues. I think Cincinnati's going to be good. That's week eight. I think Dallas is always an issue. That's week 10. The Rams and Ravens are probably the back-to-back toughest stretch, 12 and 13. But then you got the Panthers, as you mentioned, Cowboys week 17. So I think you have respites where it's, you got to handle your business. This is the NFL, but there's no real Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas punch in the face every week type of stretch. I think that stretch was brutal. I don't see the brutal stretch on this schedule, which I think is good.
Which is this weird, like, come think of it, when you look back at last year, it's like, how the heck did they beat them in Kansas City?
And I know. And they beat Kansas City and Buffalo.
I know, back to back. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, what the heck is that? I definitely see your point when it comes to that spacing. I just look at it, it's like, I think they got a lot of, and it doesn't help that they go to a lot of places where historically they struggle at too.
Yeah, they've never won in Cincinnati, by the way. Yeah. I think. I'm not positive.
Yeah, they're 0-4-1. I think they're 0-4-1 out there. It feels like it's like, all right, we either we're gonna watch a tie or we're gonna watch a loss, which is like, oh great, here we go on that one too. I'm tired of seeing ties with Cincinnati, but that's another thing I didn't even think I forgot about too. Like we all knew the opponents before it came out, but the fact they have to go to a lot of places where they struggled at. We mentioned Cincinnati, Dallas, the Superdome has not been very contrary.
Yes, Superdome, very difficult place to play. Very loud. Xander's basically writing off the Saints. I said, be careful with the Saints.
The Saints to me, it's that defense and the thing. And the Eagles offense, this is not taking away the Eagles. Eagles offense is going to be good this year. I really think they're going to be potent. I think they're going to be a top three offense again. It's one of those things where it's just a dome, the loudness in there, and effectively communicate because it's going to be a lot of silent count. It forces you to wait that extra second sometimes as well, too, and defense is just, you get communication, they're used to it. So that's the only reason why I think I'm going to think that. I think that's, to me, that's a loss in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Chris has got that as a loss, too. Yeah.
You got him as a loss in New Orleans, too.
I'm a big fan of that Saints defense. I'm not in love with Dennis Allen as a head coach, but that defense, man.
Their defense is good. You pointed out. They added some players. They got Kool-Aid, but – I mean, look, the Eagles added players too. The Eagles added offensive talent too. So I think the Eagles will get the better of them. Chris, I want to ask you about the NFC East. Les Bowen made a good point. The Eagles have six games penciled in every year versus the NFC East. We've kind of not forgotten about it, but the Giants and the Commanders have sucked now for so long. We've almost chalked it up like it doesn't matter that much. Do any of these teams make a push this year? Do the Eagles, you know, split with each of them? Or I think they beat the Commanders twice. I think they beat the Giants twice, but maybe I'm wrong. I think it's a split with Dallas. How do you see the NFC East going this year?
I think they go 4-2. I got splits with the Cowboys. I got splits with the Commanders.
That's right. I had a split with the Commanders as well. That's right. I forgot.
It's that short week. If it was on regular rest, I think they get it. But that short
fact, Commanders always play us so well. I mean, even last year, Sam Howell, I remember, went to overtime with him. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, that, and they're competent. And, yeah, and the fact they have a mobile quarterback who has a lot of Jaden Daniels, who has a lot of upside. I like his game a lot. And I think when you look overall at Cliff Kingsbury and the type of style it's not going to be a true air raid style that we typically see from them. He basically adapted to the NFL game, and it's going to be one of those. And you have a defensive head coach who's going to say, you know what, I got a rookie quarterback. I just want to keep it ball control. I just want to make it ugly and that. And I think they can do that against this defense. The Eagles have the better roster. The Eagles have more talent. It's just when it comes to those division games, it comes that advantage comes down a little bit, and I think that ball control happens to the point where, like, one, I think you see on that short week after coming off of Dallas, you see, I think, a loss. I think on, I have that chalk penciled in as a chalk as a loss. And then the Giants are just, it's, nah.
Yeah.
It's Dave, to me, it's Dable's last year. I think they
yeah, boy, he started hot with coach of the year, and then it's not going good since then.
I mean, to me, Washington is the biggest uncertainty on the schedule because they could be really good if Jaden hits the ground running. And I think he's going to be, I said leading up to the draft, he was my guy. He's the guy. Yeah. I think he's a playmaker. He's just that kind of guy who's going to be tough to deal with for defenses. But I don't know how quickly that starts. I could see them by week 11. You mentioned that short week, the Thursday night game, which is at Lincoln Financial Field. They could be a really good team by that point. They could also be a really bad team. So they're the one.
If he has a CJ Stroud like season to start, yeah, they're going to be good. Yeah.
And you know, so to me, that's going to change drastically than what we're talking about today, where the Washington Commanders are. And that, I would say, of all the teams on the schedule, that is the one you really can't get a beat on at this point. Even it could be really good. It could be really bad. It could be somewhere in the middle. We'll see how that shakes out. But if I look at one game I'm going to guarantee is a loss, Chris Franklin, it's December 1st at Baltimore. And if I look at one game that's going to be guaranteed win next week, December 8th, Carolina at Lincoln Financial Field, I want you to guarantee one loss and one win.
The one win I will guarantee is the Eagles up at MetLife Stadium. Saquon's return. Because even though I think that the Giants fans will pack that place, even if it's rain. I think they'll pack a place, especially for coming back there. During the vitriol they're going to throw at them. But I think Saquon's got a lot to say about the way it ended, for what we've heard about him not getting the contract and going that one. I think he's going to have a lot of things. So I guarantee that as the win. The guarantee loss for me, I just don't know how they go into I just look at that. I look at the Cincinnati Bengals game. I look at that team. I know it's Joe Burrow has not played well in a while, but you look at the 500 Jamar Chase, that's going to be a shootout to me, in my opinion. And with these Eagles-Bengals games, it's either going to be really it's going to be entertaining, it's a shootout, or it's going to be some of the ugliest football we've seen. It just seems to happen when these teams get at, and you're going to Cincinnati, a place you never won. And I just look at a place in that one, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I think that's the one that is in. The Baltimore game is going to be, to me, the Baltimore game is going to be probably is one of the top three and most entertaining games we're going to watch this season in terms of the Eagles schedule. I think it's one of those things where it's a city, and you got Justin Tucker. The Eagles better have the last possession. If it's tied, they better the last possession.
Yeah, both teams. I mean, Jake is the closest thing, at least he was last year, to Justin Tucker. But yeah, I talk about Justin all the time. I still remember watching them in practice when they were here, Chris. I'm sure you do as well. It was like, it's rare you want to go watch a kicker, but the ball comes off his foot. It's like a shotgun. And it's so high and so majestic.
And what do the two teams have in common? They both have a brown when it comes to
Tyler and Randy.
Tyler and Randy. They both have a brown. And you see the effect that that they've had in the kicking game for both teams. You really do. And yeah, there's something to it. Maybe, like, you know, in horse racing, you have the certain trainers that do really well. Well, when they do it legally and not injecting things, when you have another team, you know, until you have a really good trainer, it's like, okay, let's say there's something in the Brown household where it's just say, when it comes to the kickers, they know what they're doing.
When I talk about that Baltimore game, whether they win or lose in Los Angeles, and I think they have a chance to lose that game as well. Remember what happened? They beat the Rams, but then they came back and laid an egg against the Jets. That travel is difficult. Even if you manage to persevere, the next week's going to be difficult. And the next week this year, you got Baltimore, which is, you know.
Yeah, to me, that Baltimore, that's my guaranteed loss too. If I had to pick a guaranteed loss, I got – that Baltimore game is just tough. It's a tough team. It's a tough, opponent. Yeah. Tough defense. It's a tough spot. Now, for my guaranteed win, I think I'm going to – I don't want to go – kind of want to cop out like you two and pick the two dusty teams, the Giants and the Panthers. I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa. I think the Eagles get their revenge.
Revenge game. Revenge
yeah, I think game. I think they come out and they're like, you guys are not –
Carolina is easy, but that's why I'm guaranteeing it. I mean, that's why. Yeah. That's part of the reason.
I'm putting it out there, and I risk I could be wrong, but that's all right. Yeah.
Dusty team. Well, that's the point. The point guarantee is 100%. You can't guarantee Tampa's too good.
They're I can't guarantee it, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it, and stick by the birds and say they're going to get the revenge on the Tampa Bucs.
See, and even when it comes to that cross country, when it comes to the Rams, I think it's more for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why I want to. The offense, and I think Jalen Hurts' record, like MetLife, is like 1-3 now, 1-4 when it comes to the Giants and Jets. Something about that stadium that is not as good. At what
Everybody hates playing there. Yeah, shitty turf. When are they changing that for the soccer stuff? When is that?
I want to say it's 2026. It's 2026.
Yeah,
so it's like, so. And it's like, well, in the talk of we may take it back off. We don't know. Like, don't be cheap. Guys are making money handle for we see a new revenue stream on Netflix and everything else. You know you have the money. Just keep it there. I don't keep it in the upkeep. Use a tarp, whatever. You can do. There's so many ways I can upkeep
it. Amazing. It's amazing that they won't change that. Everybody hates playing there, and they won't change it. It's abysmal. I feel bad for the Giants. They got to play on it all the time, and the Jets.
Good old Woody and good old Johnny. Yeah, it was like one of the things. Like, come on, guys, you have. It's not like it's just one thing. You got two owners. Two owners can fix that turf. Two.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Can't do that at all. I don't. But yeah, I think
that should be an NJ.com expose. You should pitch that. Why the hell?
Al Brookover did something on that. I want to say like a couple years ago about the turf. He actually did a good job. I credit Bob for doing it. And like they changed to another version of that turf the following year. He found out. Bob did it's the 2022 season. That's when he did it on there. I think that's so. If anybody wants to read it, he did a good job when it came to that.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm hearing a lot of loss coming from you. Did you do it? Did you play the win loss game over there? I'm not going to go game by game with you, but do you have a final record prediction from Chris Franklin for the 2024 Eagles?
I do. And a funny thing, the losses I had, they included the Bengals, the Ravens, the Commanders, the Cowboys, and the Saints. But those were the five I had. I have them going 12-5.
12-5. That's solid. That's solid. I had 11-6. Xander had 13-4. So we're all in the same realm.
I have them beating the Bengals. I think that's the Jalen Hurts game this year. I think he shows up. He knows everybody's talking about Joe Burrow and how great of a player he is, just like they are about Josh Allen. He went in there last year and got the win in overtime. I think that's the Jalen Hurts game, and I think the Eagles have a good game in Cincinnati, and I think they get the win. It's going to be a tough one, but that if I'm forced to pick, that's going to be my pick right now.
I think it's going to be uncomfortable. Week 17, week 18, those final two games, the final one, I think, that when it comes to the Cowboys, the final Cowboys game, I think that's the one that gives them the tiebreaker. That last week, I think it's going to be a high scoreboard.
That's good that they're going to be playing. So both teams will be forced to play. We've had too many of those Eagles-Cowboys games over the years.
I'll tell you what, there's actually a lot hinging on that game. If you think about it, if the Eagles win that game, it's a big momentum shift before the playoffs. But if they lose that game at home to the Cowboys,
they might not be in the playoffs if they lose that game.
Man, the fans won't like it. The team won't like it. That could be a bad swing in the wrong direction before the playoffs.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a battle like when you're going and approaching that area, because I haven't been in a little funk in the middle of the year. When you're getting toward that area, I think that Cowboys going to have this part of the streak that they continue to win. I think that last week, I don't think they'll get it. I don't think they'll get the one seed. But I think that it's going to be basically a three-way jockeying between the Lions, the Cowboys, and the Eagles for that one seed. I think the Lions play in Minnesota so much. So I think the Lions finish with the one. But
Lions are good, man. I'm picking the Lions. Yeah, Lions are going to get the number one seed. They're going to be a really good team. At C Franklin News, make sure you follow Chris on X, NJ.com. Read him there. does a tremendous job. 12-5 Eagles prediction. I'll end it here, and I keep talking about this, and I'm not getting any foothold, so I need a foothold from Chris Franklin. I hate this week one game in Brazil from the Eagles. From a pure football perspective.
Yeah, I'm with you, John.
I'm not talking business. It makes sense from business-wise and opening up market. I'm saying this team's going to be a team you're battling for playoff position, and you're giving up a stinking home game. Now, if they win the game, everything is solved. So we'll be able to start talking about it. But if they lose that game, Chris, it is a storyline the entire season, because they're going to be behind the eight ball when it comes to tiebreakers with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, when they made this thing, and that was the reason why I really thought the Browns made the most sense to send them down to Brazil, because I thought it was an interconference, interconference game, where it doesn't have as much impact if there's a tiebreaker. To me, the Packers could be one of those things where we're talking about if the Eagles lose the Cowboys late in the season, it's one of those things where are they a 5 seed or a 6 seed? It could come down to that, and that can, depending on matchup, that can be a big, big thing on top of that. I don't mind going down to Brazil, and in words, Triple H, this is what's best for business, and wearing that one too, for that one too. It's the problem I had was it really was the opponent. Yeah, you don't send, and we never even Ravens, Eagles, Ravens. I know you, the gate wise, you're like, well, you know, it's you got the Eagles fans traveling down there. It'll be a good gate no matter what. Baltimore has a good crowd anyway, but at least if you did that, that would make a lot more sense to send them down there instead of having another NFC team. And it's just, I just don't understand why. I know you want the historic Packers things. And then if that whole thing about the jersey colors is true, which I'm working on that one, trying to find
out. Nobody's wearing green.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach out down there. It's fun trying to reach somebody and talk about that. I actually understand because, you know, Portuguese is not the native language.
Portuguese is not, yeah. not one of my top five languages at this point.
No, it's
sense. Yeah, it should have been an AFC team. Should have been Cleveland.
It wouldn't have been the Ravens, right? Because the Ravens, they're on the road again. So technically they were only picking the from one of the
it was down to Green Bay or Cleveland, and they wanted the higher profile opponent. Like I said, I get it from a business standpoint. Great, but who cares? From if you're Nick Sirianni and the players, this sucks from a football standpoint. You're giving up a home game against a playoff contender in your conference. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. It's there's no way around that. That's a fact, I think.
Yeah.
And just wait till we see more of these games coming up. You know, more and more coming until it's more and more. Barcelona. I
wish they were playing in Barcelona, by the way. Nothing against Sao Paulo, yeah. But
that's all that
I prefer, like, Barcelona.
When Sao Paulo, I was like, oh, this is cool. Brazil, all right, cool. But you look and it's like, oh, it's not near Rio. All right, cool. Well, it was not on the beach. All right, it's
not
cool.
Even close.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bring on Sydney. Bring on Sydney. Sydney will be fun, but it's a long flight, but hey, I think that'd be worth it too.
Yeah, it'd be worth it at least. All right, Chris Franklin, thanks for joining the show, man. Make sure you guys read Chris Franklin on NJ.com and follow him on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at C Franklin News. Chris, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one now.
Yeah,
thanks, bud.
There's Chris Franklin. Always does great job. Does great work for NJ.com. 12-5, Johnny Mack. You had 11-6. I had 13-4.
Yeah, I'm the negative one.
Homer. I slanted a little homer.
I'm the negative one. I'm always the negative one.
Well, 11-6 is a negative.
Come still on. Good team. Yeah, still a good team. They're not going to be battling for the number one seed, but I don't, you know, now if they get off to a good start, though, this could be, you know, we're going to have that. Nobody's going to believe it, though, because they were 10-1 last year and they fell apart. But if they're 10-1 this year, man, they got a chance to do some special things, because that back end of the schedule shapes up very, very well for the Eagles. Very, very well.
Yeah, it really does. If I'm just thinking right now, I'm zooming ahead to, what would it be, November? Eagles at 6-6. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
this six city and is on they're fire, Johnny Mac. This city would not be happy if they're.
Oh, they're going to be calling for Nick's job. It's going to be everything. They'll probably get beat pretty handily in Baltimore too.
I would go further. I think it would be more than just the city that would be pissed off. I think Jeffrey Lurie would be pissed off.
I'm sure he will be. They'll probably lose that game, you know, pretty handily, as I said. And everybody will put a punctuation point on the season and the Nick Sirianni era, and then they're going to go bang, 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 bang. Five in a row, make the playoffs. And then we'll see what they do in the playoffs.
John, if the Eagles are, let's just say for a second, they fall in between us. I have them 13-4. You have them 11-6. Let's just say they go Chris Franklin and they go 12-5. What's the one seed going to be?
13, probably 13, 14. You always got that.
And you think it's the Lions? You think it's the Lions?
I do think it's the Lions.
I haven't looked at the Niners schedule, but I have a feeling the Niners are going to be damn good again too.
Yeah, they're going to be very good. They're in the conversation. I would say Detroit. I would lean towards Detroit should have beat San Francisco last year.
I know they I think they started that game up by almost 20 points.
Green Bay should have beat San Francisco.
Yeah.
I could see Green Bay. I could see Green Bay going in both directions a little bit. They're going to be a good team. It's a matter of how good. And I think a lot depends on Jordan Love. We're talking about that. And I brought up Dante Culpepper from covering him.
Yeah.
You know, you never know how young quarterbacks are going to react to success. Are they going to understand? Like I explained, look, everybody spent their offseason who has Green Bay on the schedule, sort of like what they did with Jalen Hurts. And they are coming up with ways to take away what he did well. Now, is he going to enter this process and saying, I got everything figured out, I'm this emerging, or is he going to understand he's got to adjust to the adjustments, he's got to keep working hard. The minute you think you have the answers, they change the questions, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. You know, you got to wait and see. I say that about every young quarterback. Even Patrick Mahomes, they made adjustments, and he struggled for a little bit.
Yeah.
People forget.
Now, Andy Reid did also took away his best receiver, but yeah.
Yeah.
He struggled for a little bit. We're going to skip our final timeout. We'll just take it to the top here to end out this Thursday edition of Birds 365. But I got to be honest, John, I'm a little nervous about our quarterback when you're talking about that. Just think back when after that Niners game, what did Nick Bosa say? He said, we laid out the blueprint for Jalen Hurts, whether he was right or wrong, or whether his belief is correct or incorrect. After that, we haven't seen Jalen Hurts do much of anything. They put up 9 points versus the Bucs in the playoffs. I mean, it was ugly from there on out. So, you know, I'm curious to see how Jalen is going to respond to the league, kind of learning his game and learning how to defend that plus one in the running game. It'll be interesting to see from our perspective, too.
Yeah. Jalen's in that same boat, and he's got to prove that. You know, new offensive coordinator was brought in here to freshen up a stale offense. Let's be honest. That's about the quarterback. That's about getting the quarterback back to where he was before.
I mean, yeah, he's who you pay the most money to. That's the guy you want going, you know?
Yeah.
John, good show today. Any other, we got a minute or so left. Any other takeaways that we missed today from the schedule? One thing we didn't mention. We got a stress-free Christmas and a stress-free Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, that's nice. That, you know, the two Netflix games and Netflix paid. Now, there were some rumors they were paying $150 for both, which was, to me, astronomical. So it turned out to be basically $150 for both. So $150 total, not $150 per. But they got high-profile opponents and games, so yeah, a little bit of a break that the Eagles aren't playing on holidays, because, you know, we kind of mentioned that yesterday. Even if you want to sit down and watch the team and everybody's okay with it,
you still got to deal with everybody. You can't concentrate on the game.
I think even fans don't like watching on. I mean, I know people love their Eagles, but like for me, I grew up a fan. Like when the Eagles were on, that was all I was doing. That was all I was focused on. I was watching the Eagles. I was reading reactions. I'm focused on the game. When you're a fan, even, and they're playing on Christmas, you got Aunt Betty and Uncle Jim and all these people, you know, and there's a lot of noise. Like, I don't know. I've always been the guy. I want to hear what the announcers are saying. I want to watch the game. I want to see the replays. I want to see it all.
Yeah, it depends on kind of the fan you are. But what, you know, from my perspective, I guess the one thing we didn't mention, that the collapse did have one effect. The Eagles, they have their five primetime games, and they'll probably get flexed into one more. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and probably 7 Giants are to be determined in week 18, as always. Probably be 1 o'clock. So there's some 1 o'clock games this year, which to me is phenomenal.
Yeah, six of them. Six of them.
Yeah.
Four of them come very early. I will say that. Four of them are in their first 7 weeks.
Yeah. New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and coming off the bye, Cleveland Giants back to back are all 1 o'clock games. 1 o'clock at Washington late. Yep. Giants game week 18 will almost certainly be 1 o'clock because I don't think the Giants are going to be relevant, so it's not going to be playoff worthy to put in a later window.
What's the flex candidate to you? I guess Cincinnati or Baltimore, maybe.
Well,
I don't think
when you're scheduled at 4:25, that's an indication that those networks fought for those games.
Right, right. They're not going to get rid of those games. It's easier to flex a 1 o'clock game.
And most of their 4 o'clock games are 4:20. In fact, all of them are, I think. Cincinnati's 4:25.
Yeah, 5 4:25 games.
Dallas 4:25. Baltimore 4:25. Pittsburgh 4:25. Dallas 4:25. That's the national game. That's an indication that those particular networks for those particular weeks fought for those games, and they're probably not going to move them. Now, you know, they can do whatever they want, but the more likely flex candidates are, believe it or not, those 1 o'clock games. And, you know, maybe Washington's better than people expected. In week 16,
yeah,
maybe that gets flexed because you can flex all the way to week 17, I think, now. So maybe that's the game. But those 4:25 games, they're going to be pretty locked in, I think.
Yeah, agreed. So, and we could even end up with another 1 o'clock game, as you mentioned, that Giants game at the end of the season, which I don't think they're going to be very good this year. So, all right, Johnny Mac, good show. If you're in the chat box, we appreciate you. Joshua, William, Bernie, Mark, C24, Twiz, SMD, Eagles, all you guys, Underdog, we appreciate everybody. Let's drop a like on the show before we get out of here. I don't know what we're up to. 119. Come on, give me 10 more. Let's get to 130 before we get out of here. I know you guys are in the chat. You can drop us a like. It's the best thing you can do to help us grow the show. Johnny Mac, good show today. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow. Schedule's out. Now we're on to OTAs. OTAs are Monday, correct?
Yeah, start on Monday. Not official yet. I think we'll be allowed in on Wednesday. That's typically what they do. But they'll have ones Monday. They'll take the day off from an on-field perspective Tuesday, then they're back Wednesday, Thursday. My guess is Wednesday will be open to reporters, but that's just my speculation at this point.
So we'll see how it all plays out. OTAs next week. Off season's moving right along. We're in May. Before you know it, June will be done. July will be done. We'll be talking about training camp. Preseason and the NFL season will be here. Thanks everybody for tuning in today. Johnny Mac, thanks for your great input as always. Thanks to Les Bowen and Chris Franklin, our two guests today, who were tremendous. Thanks everybody. We will catch you tomorrow on Birds 365.